the incumbents, whether it's members of parliament, the councillors, council chairpersons, mayors, generally those within the party structures, I guess more reason for them to put in a lot of work in ensuring that they get the trust of the people ahead of the 2026 elections. But also the big question is it even too late for some of them to do that? Because it's in about 10 months people get to vote, and maybe people have already made up their minds if they don't want a certain leader in their community, or if they want to retain them. I think by now people have thought about it. Can people change their minds in good time before the next elections? It's a bigger question there. We're still live on our Facebook page, Phoenix FM Zambia. You can leave a comment and share your thoughts on this conversation as we keep it going. It's 8 hours. The main news at 8 is up next.
This time check was brought to you by Stanbic Bank.
Phoenix FM.
Check. There we go.
106.7. Bonze. The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters. Absa.
Win number money 1 million na Absa. Play your cards right, Muntu Andy, and you could win big. Simply tap or swipe any of your Absa cards 5 times in a month, and you could be one of 10 lucky winners to take home and achieve 10 fin in monthly prizes, or walk away with a grand prize of 250,000 kwacha. Jalilo ku, and you cannot afford to not get lucky. Use your Absa card to enter the draw. Terms and conditions apply. Your story matters. Absa.
The headlines. The Southern African Resource Watch warns weak oversight threatens safety in expanding mining sector. Chingola MP responds to Nchanga constituency hopeful Makitu donation seizure. Clashes erupt between Hamas forces and armed clan members in Gaza City. To present the news, I'm Lusavilo Gondwe. The Southern African Resource Watch Senior Research Advocacy Officer, Edward Lange, has warned that Zambia risks facing more calamities in the mining sector as both large-scale and artisanal and small-scale mining activities expand in pursuit of higher production without corresponding law enforcement efforts. According to the Association for Small-Scale Miners in Zambia, over 20,000 artisanal and small-scale miners are currently operating across the country, while the government has announced the formation of more than 4,000 cooperatives as part of efforts to formalize the artisanal and small-scale mining sector, in addition to expansion projects by large mines. Mr. Lange has challenged the government to disclose how much is being invested in establishing the Minerals Regulation Commission as an oversight institution, particularly in monitoring mine safety as both large and small-scale mining operations increase. He has also questioned the adequacy of the Environmental Management Act of 2011 in addressing the growing environmental and safety challenges, citing weak enforcement mechanisms. Mr. Lange has further expressed concern over the limited capacity of the Zambia Environmental Management Agency, ZEMA, to effectively regulate mining activities across all 10 provinces, warning that unchecked environmental degradation continues to go unpunished and unregulated.
There are two key issues I think that should be the government should be investing, especially as they discuss the budget. How do we strengthen the Environmental Management Act implementation, or even itself in terms of the quality of the law, to take on board the issues that we are faced with, especially in the extractive industry? Is it possible that the 2011 Environmental Management Act could be relooked at? Tied to the same is how is the capacity level of ZEMA.
UPND Chingola Member of Parliament Chipoka Mlenga says while it is commendable for individuals to contribute to the development of key sectors such as education and health, such efforts must always meet established standards. Commenting on the seizure of educational materials donated by aspiring Inchanga Member of Parliament, Mulaza Kaira, popularly known as Makitum, Mr. Malenga says he will not pass judgment on the Ministry of Education's decision as he's not fully aware of the criteria or circumstances surrounding the matter. He has stressed that institutions operate under specific rules and policies that must be respected even by those seeking to support national development. Mr. Malenga has further urged stakeholders from political, social and private sectors to take an active role in national development, commending the UPND government for fostering what he described as a more civil and ideas-driven political atmosphere. However, he has maintained that while citizen participation in development is welcome, it must always conform to national standards and procedures.
But ultimately, it is good for people to contribute. But definitely, there should be standards. If you're going to go into any institution, probably, I'm going into the health sector, there should be standards that should be met. In the education sector, there should be standards that should be met. I can only comment that. May all queries be taken to the Ministry of Education, who made that decision. I've not even taken much time of seeing what they have decided and what they have spoken, or any person that they have sent up, because I've not seen them targeting a person you're mentioning, but I heard the statement, but it was not centered on any person. But I, for one, I strongly feel people should contribute, but obviously adhering to the standards that are set by an institution.
The People's Pact says it is holding consultations to resolve internal wrangles within the Tonse Alliance, where it is a member. The People's Pact chairperson, Peter Sinkamba, has confirmed that discussions are underway to address challenges affecting the coalition. Mr. Sinkamba says the consultations aim to promote unity and harmony among opposition political parties with a broader goal of presenting a united front capable of providing leadership for the nation. Speaking to Phoenix News, Mr. Sinkamba says the People's Pact believes that meaningful engagement with stakeholders will be key to achieving a positive outcome from ongoing efforts. He adds that the current strategy focuses on identifying and addressing root causes of discord within the alliance to strengthen cooperation and enhance its overall effectiveness.
The members of the Tonse Alliance, and the Tonse Alliance comprises two major alliances, which is the Tonse and the People's Pact, from what we call the Tonse Grand Alliance. There's been obviously these wrangles, which you've seen happening in the Tonse Alliance, and we from the People's Pact took up an initiative last week to consultation with various key stakeholders within the Tonse Alliance to what the problems are.
Health expert Dr. Teddy Mulenga has welcomed the move by Health Minister Elijah Muchuma to summon all provincial health directors over reports that patients are being turned away from public hospitals due to a lack of medicines. According to reports, patients are being told that there are no medicines in public health facilities, despite government figures indicating that drug availability in health facilities stands at 86%. Dr. Mulenga says it is critical for officials responsible for budgeting and managing medical supplies to be held accountable, arguing that it is surprising for hospitals to be declared well-stocked while patients are continually referred to private pharmacies to buy drugs. He notes that if the challenge lies in distribution rather than supply, the ministry must urgently address the logistical bottlenecks that are preventing medicines from reaching the intended health facilities. Dr. Mulenga has further called for enhanced monitoring systems across all provinces to ensure medical stocks are properly tracked and made accessible to the public without unnecessary delays or excuses.
Because if we have drugs that is hamster and you have no drugs in a computer, why you don't have the drug? You are not asking? Or are we refusing to provide you when we have the drugs? Why should drugs expire when the clinics have nothing in the rural area? So it's quite right to ask that kind of. It's time we put our officers to accountability.
In global news, at least 27 people have been killed in fierce clashes between Hamas security forces and armed members of the Dagmash family in Gaza City, in one of the most violent internal conflicts.